Welcome to the PCTR Podcast. I'm Robbie Utterberg, Senior Pastor. I want to thank you for listening today. We hope that you hear from God and that this podcast encourages you in your faith journey. You can connect with us on social at facebook.com/PCTRNJ or our Instagram handle, PCTRNJ. Or you can find more information or resources at PCTR.org. Have a great day. Peace.
Good morning. I'm Christian. If we haven't had the chance to meet, I'm one of the pastors here. And this morning we are continuing our sermon series called Making Sense of Christmas. And it's really in an attempt to recover the joy and the peace that we can have in this season that reminds us of the coming of Christ. And it's definitely been a challenging year, a challenging season. And we want to just try to connect with that. And what we've been thinking about is that we can connect through our senses, that our senses are part of our body and our souls are all throughout our body. And if we access our senses, we have a way to allow that peace and that joy to be a part of our experience. And so we're exploring that. Pastor Robbie last week, he kicked things off with the sense of taste. And if you hadn't had a chance to take a look at that, I encourage you to check it out on our live stream or Facebook, or even we have a podcast and you just grab the sermon. So I encourage you to do that. Today we're actually talking about the sense of sight and its ability to connect us to a whole host of different things, and hopefully, Lord willing, to connect us to Christ. And so we're going to be exploring that, its ability, and using that ability to open up our passage today, which comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And so I'm going to go ahead and read that for you, emphasizing some of the places where sight is either mentioned or implied. Okay? So here we go. Matthew. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written." And I'll just pause. If it's written 2,000 years ago, you're seeing it, right? So the written implies seeing, but this is what they saw in the word. "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." Then Herod called together the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search." And I'm not thinking that they're doing a Google search, but actually searching with their eyes. "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is God's word for us. Please join me in prayer. Lord, thank you for your word, and I ask that your Holy Spirit would be here, and that you would give us fresh eyes to see you, that we would be able to look upon you and come to know you more and fall more in love with you. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to talk a little bit about sight and its ability to connect us in a whole host of different ways. And so I'm going to talk about that for a second, and then we're going to apply some things to our passage to try to kind of open it up. And so I want to kick that off by saying the word photograph was coined in 1835. And it literally means light drawing, right? Phos, photo. Phos is light, and graph is writing. So photographs are literally light writings. And photos can have a, seeing photos and experiencing photos have a way to connect us in a whole variety of ways. And I want to just explore some of that with you. I have this one photograph that I want to show with, kind of kick off with, and this is actually from Caddis Island here right near us. This fall, I took this photograph. It was sunset. It had kind of been a rainy day, and you can see the clouds are still pretty heavy, and they're dropping some showers in the distance, and you can see the grass going from the summer greens into on the way to that kind of autumn gold. And I love capturing these photographs. I actually share quite a bit of what I see because it points me towards God. Seeing the beauty, seeing the creation, and the variety and the power of a storm or a rain or a wind or a whole host of different things, capturing that, it points me towards our majestic God. And so our sight has the ability to do that through photographs. In the next photograph, you can see that it's of a place called Haystack Rock in Cannon Beach, Oregon. And photographs have the ability to connect us to or let us experience in a way that we may not easily have access to. And so this is on the other side of the country, and the shore there is different. By looking at this, and having in mind what we have here on the Jersey Shore, which is absolutely beautiful, but looking at this, you can see that the Oregon coast is rocky in many places. But it also has broad beaches. And the sun comes up over the land. You can see the light just hitting, the first rays of the sun hitting the top of the rock in the early morning. And if we were looking at this, you know that the sun is going to come up over the land and it will go down in the Pacific instead of for us coming up over the Atlantic and setting over the land. Sight has the ability to convey information and to connect us to places and open up whole new worlds to us. In the next photograph, you can see a group of ladies, and they come from a very different culture than ours. This is down in Chiapas, Mexico, and you can see these ladies in their traditional kind of ethnic wear, the Tzeltal people, and which for the ladies is a blouse that has kind of an embroidered thing on the collar and a skirt that has a pattern that actually tells you from what village or group that they are from. And seeing this lets you to be connected to different people in different places. And so sight is a powerful thing. And I love sharing these things. And I love connecting people, pointing them towards God, pointing people towards things that they might have not seen before, and connecting them to other people, and to share ministry events. In the next photograph, it was taken a few weeks ago, we had a family ministry event right out here, actually, in the evening, and it was a lot of fun. There was fires and games and bowling and all kinds of stuff. You can see some of our directors, Michael and Amanda, there. They have this white stuff all over them. You might be wondering, what in the world is the white stuff? Well, they volunteered to be the target for whipped cream pies. And I don't know how many there were, but they got hit in the face. They, at the end of the thing, they kind of kneeled down, and they joyfully accepted the kids putting pies in their face. And so you can see that. And I love sharing these events, and you can see the joy and the emotion, and it tells a bit of the story of what had happened. And not all of us were there, but it's a chance to share the story in the midst of that. The next story, you can see some of the joy here around a fire pit and roasting marshmallows and the glow on the face and the fire moving. And we can be connected in a whole host of different ways. In the next photograph, it's those ladies in Chiapas again. But in this case, there's actually people from Toms River and from PCTR there in the photograph. And you can see that people are coming together, that they are connecting. These ladies actually asked for this picture. They wanted to have this picture taken with us. And we were more than happy to do that. And now I share it with you. And so our sight has the ability to see how we can be connected to others. It's a powerful sense that we rely on a lot. And it makes our navigating the world around us so much easier. And so what I want to do is take a few concepts from sight and from photography and apply them to our passages. And this first one, this next photograph, is a photograph that exhibits something called frame within frame. And the photographic concept is that you look for something to frame what you're trying to take a picture of. Of course, you have the picture itself, but the idea is use a doorway or a window or an arch or perhaps branches reaching over. And what happens is you have a whole much more depth, and the story is that much richer. And so what you have here is you are looking down through a tree has fallen, and you're looking through the old roots. A whole tree has become driftwood, and you're looking through that at the coast and the rocky cliff and the trees on it. And you can see one that's kind of out there that's holding strong, but probably one day will fall down and be like the tree that we are presently looking through. Frame within frame. So frame within frame in our passage. What is the frame around what we have going on here? We have the Magi, we have Herod, we have the baby Jesus and the Mary and Joseph. The frame around it is, it's prior to what we read, but in that first chapter, about half of that chapter, is Jesus' genealogy. And Jesus' genealogy says that Jesus is connected in his family tree to kings. And not only that, to the Israelites, to the Jews. He's connected to them. He is part of their kin. And that's part of what frames this. But as we look closer, we see King Herod right there in the passage. And King Herod, if you know the rest of the story, has a very strong reaction to Jesus. When in our passage it says that he was troubled to hear of the birth and all of Jerusalem with him. And Herod eventually seeks to strike out at the baby Jesus and kills all the babies and toddlers in this community. It's thought perhaps 20 to 30. We don't have the actual number, but by population size and things like that, people figure it was probably 20 to 30 children were killed by the king. It's not really mentioned anywhere else other than scripture. I think it would be a very big deal if a political leader did such a thing today, and there would be a record of it all over the place. But what we have here is this frame, and then when we look closer, we have a greater meaning. And it's even further enhanced when we think of the Magi. These mysterious guys, we don't know a whole lot about them. They're often portrayed as three people on camels coming from afar. But the camels aren't mentioned. The number isn't mentioned. We don't know. But they are these people that have come from far away in the east, and they've come on this journey. And so what's fascinating is if you look at this frame, that Jesus is their part of Israel. He's part of this people, but his kin, his own kin, don't recognize him and will strike out at him. But these people who come from afar recognize him and come and worship him and feel connected to Him and feel that they are in the presence of something much, much more when they do. And so we can see this in our passage. Let me share, here we go. Here's another concept. The next concept is really seeking to have a change in perspective. This here is at a cranberry farm. There's bogs and things like that. It's in the center of the state. And I went there and I saw this tank, and I found this fascinating. I've seen these tanks up on top of buildings in New York City, but they're always far away and you don't have access to them. And so I snapped this photograph of this tank, and this is a pretty normal standard photograph of a tank and the building and just kind of getting the feel. And then I like the texture and the colors and the bands different from the streaks. But I decided I would try finding a different perspective. And so I moved a little closer and I actually looked up. And I got a different perspective of what that tank was like. And it takes on a whole different feel. And you can see different things, you can notice different things, like the band actually, in the middle of the photograph there, actually comes away from the tank a little bit. In the next photograph, I looked to the side. And as I looked to the side and took in a new perspective, I could, it's hard to see here with the television so far away. If I was sitting next to you with my iPad, I could show you. You can literally see the rusted threads on that band right there. And things come into focus, but other things start to fall away. And as we seek a new perspective, we can see things differently than they were before. So this, the passage that we have here, thinking about this and thinking about what does it mean to get a new perspective. For many people, the idea to having spiritual depth and to tying into God and tying in to what He has for us is prayer and closing of the eyes and digging deep. And we are called to into prayer, into closing our eyes and digging deep. But if that's all that it is, we're missing something, because we can engage in God's beautiful creation by looking up and by looking out. And as we look up and we look out, as we gain a new perspective, we find that what He has called us to engage with, to see the beautiful creation, to see those around us, our neighbors, to see the beauty and the challenges and the needs. And as we do so, we become more connected to the beautiful world, the cosmos that we are in, and we receive God's mission for us. When the Magi looked up into the sky, the people were very familiar with the stars and the comets and all those things in that day. It's so much so that they had names for them, and they would make patterns, what we call constellations. And they recognized that certain bodies in the sky would wander around. And today we call those planets. The planets do not behave like the other stars. They would move around from time to time. And even though they were very much more connected to them, unless you studied astronomy or something like that in school or something like that, they have a greater awareness, but we have a scientific knowledge where we know exactly how far away those stars and planets are. We can know what they're made up of and have certain things of assurance, but nonetheless, they can strike a sense of awe in us. And that's what they did in the Magi and those in that time. When people would see something different there, it seemed that God was communicating to them through those things. And they would wonder, what is God doing? God seemed to be sending them a message. And when the Magi saw this star, they wondered, what is God doing here? And they followed that star, and they had the opportunity to encounter Jesus. And not just to be satisfied and to see the sign and to know, but to actually engage and to move closer. And I think that's our challenge for us. As we see God moving and acting around us, we can ask the question, what is God doing? What is God doing here that we might join him in it? And so I encourage all of us to look up and to look out all the while we pray. Be engaged. Receive the mission and be involved. Another concept, it would be color versus black and white. And so I have this photograph, again, from this fall. This is from Double Trouble State Park. Again, a cranberry bog. Again, fall. And the hedge along the road between the bogs, it has this golden color. And you can kind of see that there, and that really kind of pops out in quite a way. You can see that puddle there, and it's reflecting the sky, and that's kind of, I don't know, at least for me, that's what catches my eye really quick when I look at it. And I looked at this photograph the same way for quite a while, but then I decided to look at it a different way, and I made it black and white, and so it looked like this. And I realized, you know what? The hedge fell away a little bit. And for me, at least, those clouds popped out in a whole new way. And that puddle there in the road, you can still see it. It still kind of catches your eye. But some things pop out and take on new meaning when we look at it a different way. If we could toggle back and forth between those, you can perhaps see what I mean. And so the concept is looking at things a different way and letting different things speak to us and pop out. And applying that to our passage, we can notice something. We can notice the Magi as they come and they encounter the person of Christ, as they see him, they offer these gifts. And one way of looking at them is that the Magi are acting very much like first century people, the Middle Eastern people. Even today, giving gifts is an important thing. If you're a guest, you bring gifts, and there's the exchanging of gifts. And so they do that. They follow that, and they give gold and frankincense and myrrh to this child out of their treasure. That's what the passage says. But if we look at it a different way and allow different meanings to pop out, beyond the cost of these gifts, there's a spiritual dimension. A spiritual dimension to what's going on here. The frankincense could be burned in the worship of God. And it's very smoky stuff. I don't know if you've ever been around it. It's very fragrant. It's very smoky. And the smoke goes up, and it's supposed to symbolize the prayers of the people rising to God. And the myrrh could symbolize purity, but it's also used in the burying of people. And it almost seems to foretell Jesus' ultimate purpose, that he came as a child, he came that he might die and die for us on the cross. And it in some sense prefigures that. But if we look at this, we can start to see a meaning come out of this. What seems to be just one way, we can start to see something else right there before us as we look closer. I wonder what young Jesus must have thought, how much Mary and Joseph must have told Jesus about that encounter with the Magi. Where did those things go? What it must have been like when the Magi showed up, where they were. It must have been fascinating to hear those stories and trying to make sense of his own birth. And I think we are challenged to try to figure out what it means ourselves, that we might move closer, that we might sense the joy of the season. One final concept, one final photograph. I've been showing you scenery photographs, but here is a photograph of some people. And if you are taking pictures, sometimes it's nice to have a whole group of people, but if you want to convey emotions and things like that, it really works best to zero in on just a few people. And hopefully that's what you're getting here. Hopefully you can see the smiles. I think that you can probably even hear the laughter in that room. It was in Honduras when one of the elders and I went down there in February. We went with Chris Schneff, the gentleman there on the left side with the glasses on. He works at Urban Promise in Camden. And we went down with him, and we invited Pastor Pablo in the middle with the blue shirt. And he came from Chiapas, Mexico. He had to drive across Guatemala to get there. And then the other gentleman on the right side of the photograph is a principal at a Christian school in Tennessee. But they were all there, and we were playing this game. I don't know if you noticed, but their hands are on each other's knees, and we were moving around and trying to like walk and move in the midst of this. And it was a pretty funny situation. And our ability to see this can help us sense the emotions there and what is happening in the midst of it. And so applying this idea of zeroing in and sensing the emotions, focusing on just a few people, I think on the Magi. The Magi that had been on this journey, traveling however it was, whether it was by foot or camel or however, they traveled a considerable distance, and which was not necessarily as common back then. They had traveled this distance, and when they got to the apex of their journey, they came into the presence of this family, this young family. And I wonder what they thought. Matthew doesn't tell us what they thought. What does a miracle look like? What would they think when they were following the star and here they see this family, a carpenter and a young mother and a little, by this time, toddler? What were they thinking? We don't know, but we do know that they did this. They gave those gifts, and they came face to face, and they knelt down, and they worshiped. They had sensed that they were in the presence of something greater than them, that they were in the presence of God, and so they bowed down, which may not be a very common thing for us to do. We probably only bow down for gardening or doing housework and things like that, but historically, bowing down is a way to say that you're giving your power away, that you're making yourself shorter. You won't run away when you bow down. You become vulnerable, and you submit to the will of another. And we can see that as we look closely at the Magi, as they came close and saw Jesus face to face, they bowed down. I think it's an inspiring model to follow, to come before Christ and to submit ourselves to him, that we want him, that we need him, that he is an amazing gift, a gift, the ultimate gift that is given to us in this time. And so it's my hope that sight will help lead you deeper into the story of the Christmas season, that you will come to encounter Christ, that you will sense who he is, how he thirsts for our salvation so much that he was willing to come and go through this all for us. Please join me in prayer. Lord, I thank you for your word, and I pray that you would help us to be guided by you, that we would encounter you. Help us to zero in on you in a whole new way. These are truly difficult times, Lord, and we need something positive, even if it is as humble as that little family, a carpenter, a young mother, and a toddler. Help us to see with fresh eyes you, that we would experience the joy of this season in a whole new and fresh way. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.